morning. Welcome to Ebenezer's Online Services. We are so glad that you joined us today. We know that Pastor Woods has a timely word for us. Enjoy, be blessed, and please stay safe.
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be with you. It is officially spring. Yes, it's officially spring as we've seen some storms come through, and I pray that you are staying safe and allowing the Holy Spirit to just dwell in you in a magnificent way as we've been going through that teaching on the Holy Spirit. I just want to give a few announcements. Don't forget about our interactive app. Please download that, and so you can get notifications. And there are a lot of prayer requests that are going on, and bereavements, praying for those families that are going through. So that app really helps us to connect, as well as EBCNC.com. It parallels all of that so that we can all stay on the same page. And I'm just blessed. I'm thrilled at how the Holy Spirit is working in all of us. And though we are separated in many different ways, we've got friends that haven't joined Ebenezer, but they're still looking in. They go to other churches. So I am happy about what God is doing with the body and how he's building us up together. I want to you to not forget to be praying, and those who are in our in-person services, 8:45 and 10:45, we're having masks and social distancing. It's still, COVID is still out there. Families are still suffering and going through. So we want to do the best we can in just hearing the voice of the Lord and just walking through and staying safe. We thank God for his covering. Still keeping the online services. God has given us an avenue to continually reach out. So our online and our 8:45 in person and 10:45 in person. Want to get into our giving scripture. Love this. And when we apply it to our lives, we really see how God provides for us so much. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves, you got it, a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. But also that in part, 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Any thankful people? The Lord has been so, so good. As you go through your days, I want you to have a cognizance of the presence of the Lord. How he's providing for you, from simple things, just being able to breathe, being able to walk, processing our eyes. We just take hearing. We take so many things for granted. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for being a wonderful provider. Thank you for this day that you've made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we just want to keep you first in all of our lives. And thank you for your son, Jesus. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. Well, we'll see you soon.
left me my wrongs, but you forgave me. And you kept the lessons, things I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's because of your mercy that we are not consumed.
God's word. Well, as we get it back into our topic, dealing with the Holy Spirit, don't forget about that Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So we get that introduction to God's Spirit that dwells in the believer. And we've been dealing with that whole topic thought of the power of the Spirit. So as we get into our section today, I am telling you, get ready. We're going to dig deeper. I am just exhilarated when I think about how God is opening up all the details of the Holy Spirit on the inside of believers. It's always been in there, but as we dig deeper, Oh, it is amazing. So I pray that you've been blessed by this series and you'll be blessed today. Before we go any further, let's pray. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I pray for those who are listening and looking in who may not know you. Would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know that it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me, please, of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, would you please teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. And help us to recognize your presence, your spirit within us. Father, we just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we get into our section of scripture, we've been moving through the teachings of Christ as he has been giving us an awareness of what the Holy Spirit is all about and what he did on the cross of Calvary to enable the believer to have the Spirit forever. So today I want to look at Acts chapter 4 and the 7th verse. Acts chapter 4 and the 7th verse. And I want you to really just focus in as we look at that 7th, and then we're going to go to the 8th verse to kind of get the context of the day. Acts 4:7, it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" That 7th verse again. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" And then the 8th verse, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel." I want to speak from a title today, and this is kind of a longer one because we're going to dig deep today. Evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Our focus today is going to be just what I've said there, that to understand that the believer, true believers, those who have been saved through Jesus Christ, will have evidence of the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt in that. And so often there's been incorrect teachings that came across that somehow people could believe in Christ and not have his Spirit. You have to have God's Spirit when you believe in Christ, when you truly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm going to show you today as we go to the scripture these evidence that comes forth. Time frame of the day's scripture is about 34 A.D. This is an amazing portion of scripture because the early church has been set on a mission to share Jesus Christ. They are just in love with God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We pick up with Peter and John, and they have been going back and forth to the temple in prayer and sharing Christ. And there's a man that has been sitting out in front of the temple, and he's been asking for money. And that was what he did. He has been lame from birth. He is over 40 years thereabout old, and everybody knows him in the community. Everybody knows him that has ever gone by. And Peter hears God, hears the Spirit, and knows at that time that he's able to speak life and health to the limbs of this man, and actually says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give it to you. Rise up and walk." And guess what? This guy walks. Now you would think, okay, an outstanding miracle has been done, that everybody would be excited about this because he's a part of the community. But no, those that are of the Sanhedrin, Pharisees and Sadducees, they're upset because Peter and John have been teaching that this is by the name of Jesus, the one who has been resurrected. And so now there's a conflict that arises because of this name, Jesus, this one who was crucified on a cross, but got up. Let's jump into this section, Acts 4, 5, and 7. It says, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. That seventh verse. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" The first point, and please get this, those who are taking notes, the process is the Holy Spirit empowers the believer in Jesus' name. I want to say that again. The Holy Spirit empowers the believer in Jesus' name. As we look a little closely at that Acts 4:7, they ask, as Peter and John are set in the midst, this wonderful miracle has been done. They have to get clarification. Pharisees, Sadducees. Sadducees have an issue because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so this whole process of them saying, okay, it's in Jesus' name, the one who got up, the one who was resurrected, is a problem. That second part says, by what power or by what name have you done this? I'm talking about evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the question. Where does this all come from? How is this all enabled? How does the Spirit dwell on the inside? How can people be healed? How can people be set free? Now, I know Kurt Franklin has been going through a lot in the news, but that song that talks about the power of God, it says, "Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain the power that I feel when I call your name. It's just like fire shut up in my bones. The Holy Ghost is moving and it just won't leave me alone." We're talking about the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They want to know, how did this occur? How did this flow? Look at Acts 4:8. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" Wow, this is big, this evidence. Here's another point. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you. F-I-L-L. He wants to fill you. Look at this Acts 4:8 a little closely. "Then Peter," he begins to speak up the question, how does this happen? And I love the detail of the scripture here. Notice it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," he began to speak. And this is what we have to understand as we get closer to God. God's presence, his Spirit wants to fill us. Have a little example today. I brought some water. So just imagine this is the Holy Spirit and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everybody gets the Holy Spirit. Right? All believers, in order to be saved, you have to have the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand Jesus had no limit of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. But by Jesus' sacrifice, every believer gets the Holy Spirit. But as we become more aware of his presence, guess what? The Holy Spirit fills us more. Why? Because we're grieving him less. We're grieving him less. And I know there's been teachings that you can just get a touch on the head and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. But no, this is a progressive thing. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures. Imagine this, becoming more aware of God's presence. Peter and John in the Word, seeking, praising the Lord, giving God all honor, giving God all glory, and having more awareness of his Spirit, living a sanctified life, a life that's pleasing. God has forgiven of their sins and they're aware of this. Now they have a more awareness, and I love this, filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can have an overflow. Isn't that good? And I want to overflow of God's presence within my life. But I also realize with that overflow that there comes some choices that have to be made. We have to submit to God, and God has to be first in our lives. There ought to be some hallelujahs in the house, because when we think about God's presence in us, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to hear my voice, and I want God's will to be done in your life. Look at this, Acts 4:10. That last part, it says that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. The evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. This process here, it comes through Jesus the Christ. When we are powered through the Holy Spirit, as you look at that scripture, it's all about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus allows the Spirit to be in us. And I say that over and over again, but also the empowerment of it. God is saying that when you get to understand who I am, listen to this, Matthew 19:26 brings it out, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's the power of the Spirit, his presence on the inside of us. And there have been so many things that maybe you did in your life, you didn't realize. How did that happen? Because you are a believer. God's presence was on the inside, and you should have lost your mind. You should have just been broken down. You shouldn't have been able to recover, but God's presence empowerment was on the inside of you. And as Peter and John are here in the presence of these men that are looking on them, it's the same way in our lives. God wants us to be an example of his presence dwelling on the inside. We're talking about evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 4:11 as we dig a little deeper in this. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Wow. Here's another point. Get this one. The Holy Spirit glorifies the salvation that can only come through Jesus. Yes, that's a big one. The Holy Spirit glorifies the salvation that can only come through Jesus. Now here within Acts 4 and 11, it was actually a quote, a common quote from Psalms 118 and 22. And so the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were very astute. They understood the scriptures, the Torah, memorized all these things. This would come up in their minds. And so they're thinking, okay, the stone that the builders rejected, they understood that this was actually looking towards the Messiah. And so they're equating Jesus Christ, that's what they're teaching, who has gotten up from the dead, that he is the Messiah, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees don't want to accept this fact. But please understand, our goal is not to seek the Holy Spirit for salvation, but only Christ. Yes, there's been teachings that have come out, and people have been seeking the Holy Spirit to save them. That's not the purpose. Jesus Christ, he is our sacrifice. He's the one who went to the cross. He's the one who took all our griefs and bore our pains. He is our propitiation. Therefore, through him, remember, I gave you that picture a couple of times ago about that he is the door. And the scriptures say he is the door. And so he allowed the Holy Spirit to come on the inside of us by us accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Looking at that Acts 4:12 a little closely, it says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name, hallelujah, under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Isn't that good? There's no other name. There is no other name. And the enablement of the Holy Spirit is all by Jesus and what he embodies. Ed Henson, he writes this, please get this, healing, tongues, the church, the Spirit of God, even God the Father himself is not the point of contact with sinful man. Jesus Christ alone is the one by whom salvation comes to mankind. I want to read that again because this is the basis of our faith, our belief. Healing, tongues, the church, the Spirit of God, even God the Father himself is not the point of contact with sinful man. Jesus Christ alone is the one by whom salvation comes to mankind. There ought to be some shouts there. Aren't you happy? Aren't you exhilarated about what Christ has done for us? I'm talking about the evidence of being filled of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Here's another point. The Holy Spirit produces boldness in Jesus. Get that? The Holy Spirit produces boldness in Jesus. Now, I want to look at these things because, again, we're looking at the personality of the Holy Spirit as he deals with the believer. And it is so transparent as we're able to look at this early church as they are walking with God. And please, you're like, oh, that's the early church. God wants that same presence within our lives. That same presence that was with them is with us. Also, we have to have an awareness of what God is doing. That's why he's giving us his Holy Spirit. As we look closely at Acts 4:13, notice, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. What? You ask yourself, they perceive this. See, they weren't robed like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they would actually have things and colors that were on their robes to let them know that they were doctors. And sometimes I wear a robe and my robe signifies that I'm a doctor. It has three stripes on it. But then they would walk around with these robes. And so everybody would know them. But Peter and John, as they're there, they don't have this. They're just regular Joe Blows. They've just got regular clothes on. They're not talking as astute as these leaders of that time. They're not using religious language, so they recognize that. But in that scripture, they perceived this, but they saw boldness in them. They could not understand how could people who had not been within their schools and their colleges be so bold? How could they do something that was so magnificent without being in the same circles as these people? And it's challenging. I want you to know, no matter where you are, no matter what your background is, no matter how much money you have in your pocket, no matter if you came up on the bad side of the track, if you've got God's presence on the inside, God can take you to higher and higher heights. It does not matter who's around you. It doesn't matter how much education people have. Thank God for education. Thank God for those things. But please give me, if I don't have all that, give me God's presence on the inside. The Spirit wants to dwell. As I was praying and getting prepared for this section of scripture, God just kind of laid this on my heart, this quote. It says, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be different. I want to say that again. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be different. The difference will be greater than our degrees, money, house, or the car we drive. People will know that we are connected to Jesus because of God's powerful Spirit that dwells in us. Isn't that good? We will be different. I've been telling you about my circumstances growing up and going to different churches. And we went all across Caswell County and other areas and Guilford County and preaching with my father, who was a pastor at that time. And I got to see so many things. And there was a time as a little child, you know, thinking about the Holy Spirit. I talked about it last Sunday, the manifestation. And, you know, you see people shouting in certain ways and you're thinking, man, if I could get the Spirit like that. And then I went to the Pentecostal realms when I started preaching and visiting around, and they had a certain kind of shout, you know, and they would dance, or they would do a two-step, or they would run. I was like, you know, if I got that as a little child, I would think and process this thing. If I could get that, then I'd really have the Holy Spirit. But please understand, the Holy Spirit is not a dance. The Holy Spirit is not just jumping up and down. The Holy Spirit is who you are in Christ Jesus. It's a life. It's a process. It's something, because you can dance every day when you think about what God has done for you. And in this process, they saw boldness, that as Peter and John are filled with the Spirit. Look at Acts 4:15, evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's evidence that's big, that's huge as we walk from day to day. Here's another point. We have no choice but to speak the wonders of God. Those who have been filled with God's Spirit have an awareness of His presence. We have no choice but to speak the glory of the wonders of God. We have no choice simply because that's who we are. That's what's on the inside of us. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we don't go through. But because the presence of God is on the inside of us, we have no choice but give God the praise. We have no choice but to speak about what God is doing in our lives. Are there any witnesses out there? When you think about the presence of the Lord on the inside of you, it causes you to share. It causes you to testify. Acts 4:18 again, it says, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. How are we going to do that? Because the Spirit is on the inside of them. How can they not speak of Jesus? How can they not speak of Jesus? It's the same process in our life. When you are really saved and you've got the presence of God on the inside, if something comes and they tell you, you can't speak on Jesus, you can't talk about the resurrection, all you can just talk about is a general God, there is going to be a problem, because we can't help but tell of the things that we've experienced in our lives. That Acts 4:19 and that 20th, notice this, it says, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen, Peter says this, you more than to God, you judge. That 20th verse, but for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Evidence, evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter said, I can't help but tell you about it. I can't help. I know you don't want to hear it, and I know you want a different explanation, but I've been with Him, and His presence is on the inside of me, and it's moving like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. There ought to be some hallelujah. I can't help. And please understand, this is not just a Sunday thing that I'm going to testify of Him. This is not just a Sunday night thing that I'm going to testify of Him, but I can't help but tell you about what Christ is doing on the inside of me via His Holy Spirit. I can't help but letting you know that God is ordering my steps, and Peter and John, and say, I can't help but tell you what's moving on the inside. That's why the believer never tires of this saying, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me. Are there any? When we think about it, we can't help. There must be something to move on inside. If you are saved, I've come to the point, and we all express the presence of God in different ways, but please understand, whether we dance or whether we shout, that is not the predominance. I pulled that out. But when we think about God and we think about His goodness and His grace and mercy, there should be some kind of flutter on the inside of you. There should be some kind of exhilaration, because you know that you've been saved, delivered, and set free. Let me get to this final section of scripture, Acts 4:21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Here's the final point. Give glory to God. There ought to be some shouts out there. Give glory to God. As we look a little closely at Acts 4:21, there's a problem. They don't want to agree with what's happened with Peter and John and this teaching of Jesus Christ, but there's a guy that's been healed, and he was lame from his mother's womb. He's 40 plus, and they don't know how to deal with this. They want to just shut this down, but Peter said, we got to tell it. This is just who we are. You put us in jail, we're still going to tell it. You crucify us, or you kill us, you take our lives, we still are going to tell it, even unto death, simply simply because that's what's on the inside, that 421 last part, because of the people, since they all glorify God for what had been done. When we are walking in the Lord and we become more aware of His Holy Spirit, more people are going to glorify God. Yes, they're going to glorify because they're going to see God working in us, and they're going to see God changing us, and they're going to see God moving on the inside of us. That's why I'm so excited that we are living epistles, and as we become more aware of His Spirit, it is not dependent on whether you're black or white or Hispanic. It does not dependent on whether you go to a Presbyterian church or a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church. It's not dependent on a certain dance or a certain way you shout. But when you've got the Spirit on the inside of, we are all connected as believers, and now God is ordering our steps, and we can be used on Monday, and we can be used on Tuesday and Wednesdays. He speaks in that still small voice, and we can give somebody a word, but yet we can hear Him for ourselves, and we can be able to make the right decisions. That's why I am so blessed at what Jesus did for us, coming down 42 and generations, walking the streets of Galilee, healing the sick and raising the dead. But He didn't stop there. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. They beat Him all night long. He goes to that, down that Via Dolorosa, and there at the Calvary, nails were put in His hands and nails were put in His feet, and there He is crucified for me, and He's crucified for you. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put Him in a cold tomb, but yet this is the gospel. He gets up on the third day with all power and all glory, so that we could have the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside, and we've got evidence in our lives that God is with us. That is such good news. Jesus is with the Father. The scriptures say He's on the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for the saints. But He told His disciples, we did that teaching. He said, I gotta go away. Because if I go away, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Empowerer, the Advocate, can be with you, inside of you, everlasting. That is such good news, to know that we've got evidence. If you're listening and looking in and you're like, Pastor, I don't have this evidence. Well, we can get it taken care of today via God and what He's done through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It said, you will be saved. You will be saved. And by salvation, remember, the presence of God comes in. The presence of God comes, and He wants to fill you more and more and more as we become aware of who we are and His Spirit. Yes, you can be changed today. For the believers that are out there, this teaching that God has put on my heart is put to the point that we can become more aware that it's not just a Sunday thing that we see a certain manifestation of the Spirit. No, God died for us on that cross of Calvary, and He was resurrected on the third day so that we could have God's presence at all times in our lives. When we wake up, as we walk through the day, when we sleep, everlasting His presence with us. That's what God wants for the believer, that we can show boldness, that we can show for Christ, that we can be examples in this dark, dark world. Man, I pray for you. I pray for you today that the evidence of God's presence comes forth via His Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this word, Lord. Just the detail that you put in showing Peter and John and their examination and the words. Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling with the believer. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you've made. Father, thank you for your wonderful plan. Father, I pray for victory in our lives as we go forth in this season and time, that your will be done. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
What a wonderful plan that God is doing in our lives. Are you showing evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life? I pray so. Please, if you don't know Him, get to know Jesus. Ask Him into your heart. And by way of His sacrifice, as we say so often, that's how the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. And He's going to dwell with us forever. So I want you, as you go through this week, to ask God and pray. And be in communication with God's Spirit that's on the inside of you, that you can show forth His evidence as you walk through your days. Well, you be blessed, and we'll see you soon.